You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Oh, I can't tell you how surreal this is. That I'm coming to you not just as an attendee at this church, having the privilege to study God's word, but to come to you as a child of God. And like all of that, it means way more. I mean, I'm babbling. It means so much. Anyway, today I would like to start with a old folktale to kind of give us a perspective into the first soil in Matthew 13 that I'll be talking to you today. And in this old folktale, this boy is a fugitive, and he is he comes to this town and seeks refuge. And the townspeople, they take him in and they treat him well. And one day the soldiers come for the boy, and they demand they hand the boy over, or they're going to burn the town and kill all the men by dawn. And so the townspeople are torn between the boy and their town and their own people. So they go to the minister looking for guidance. The minister, also at a loss, he goes to his room and he starts reading the Bible. And he's searching the scriptures, and he doesn't sleep all night. And just before dawn, his eyes fall on John 11:50. It is better that that one man dies than the whole world be that the whole people be lost. So with that, he closes his Bible, goes to the soldiers, and leads them to the boy. And as the boy is led off, the town rejoices. But the minister, he can't. He's too grief-stricken. So he goes back to his room. And that night, an angel comes to him and says, "What have you done?" And he says, I delivered the boy to the soldiers. And the angel said, "But don't you know you've delivered the Messiah? You've given him up." He said, "How was I supposed to know?" And he said, "If you, instead of reading your Bible, would have gone to him and looked in his eyes, you would have known." Today we're going to be looking at Matthew 13 and the first soil in particular of that parable of the sower and the seed, and how the Pharisees missed Jesus because they were so fixated on the law that was given to them to guide them in following God, that they missed God himself. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13, and while you're getting there, I'd like to just give you a quick background and context of Matthew 13, just so to help us better interpret this text. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand, we'll get one to you. So real quick, Matthew is written by the disciple Matthew. He is a tax collector. He's an accountant. He's writing this book, this gospel, to the Jewish people to tell them that this is the Christ. This is the one you've been waiting for. And his accounting personality comes through in the chapters leading up to chapter 13. There's prophecies fulfilled, there's lineage. It's like he's almost going down a checklist, like, hello, this is the Messiah you've been looking for. And so, which brings us up to 13, but if you look at chapter 13 in the structure of Matthew, its counterpart, what you're supposed to compare it to look at, to contrast, and try to give you a better perspective, they call it text, interpreting text, is actually Matthew 11:25 through 12:45. So I'm going to just do the work for you in chapter 12, real quick, just run through that. That will help set us up for chapter 13 and see what Matthew is trying to get across to us with the Pharisees. So in chapter 12, we see time and time again, Jesus is showing them who he is. First, I like to say he schooled the Pharisees on the Sabbath. Like, hello. So the first, starting in 12:1, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and the disciples are picking grain along the side of the road, and they're eating it, which is, according to one of the 613 laws, is against the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees say to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And Jesus tells them about David and how he ate the food in the temple, or how the priests even profane the Sabbath, but they're guiltless. And he tells the Pharisees, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And they miss it. And then, starting in verse 9, he heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, which is doing good, but it's still against one of the 613 laws. He even goes away and heals many people secretly. And then they come to him again after he's cast out a demon out of a man, and they say to him, after other people say, can this be the son of David? Other people are seeing this. They're seeing that this looks like the Messiah. They're saying, no, he is casting out demons by Satan. And he schools them again. Like, no, don't you know a house divided against itself cannot stand? And he tells them about a tree will be known by its fruit. Essentially, look at your fruit. Where is your fruit? How many? This is just too cool. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make a tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. He's telling them, look at my signs. Like even before and earlier in Matthew, where John the Baptist asked him, are you really the Christ? He's like, look at what I've done. He's telling the Pharisees, look at what I've done. Look at my fruit. And they still ask him, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. Hello? And he calls them an evil and adulterous generation. But no sign will be given except for the prophet Jonah. And I'll get back to that in a second. But then, starting in verse 43, they get to the return of the unclean spirits. And what that is telling of, God has delivered them from one oppressor, Pharaoh, many years ago, and they've replaced it. He gave them the law to guide them to God. They were supposed to fill their house with God, and they left it empty, and they filled it with 613 laws. So basically, way worse off than they were before. Even though God has delivered them and he gave them tools to guide them, they dropped the ball. And we get to 11:46. And this, if you look structurally, this is the heart of Matthew. This is, if besides getting the point that Jesus is the Messiah you've been waiting for, this is what you're supposed to take away with. Like, if you could only pick one thing, this is it. And this is when Jesus says, who is my mother and brothers? Here are my brother and brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. If you're a Jew, especially if you're a Pharisee, this is like a punch in the gut. For their whole life, they've been told, you're good. You're in the nation of Israel. By lineage, as long as you don't get kicked out, keep the 613 laws, stay in the nation, you'll be in the kingdom of God. And here comes Jesus saying, do my will, and you'll be my family. So if you're reading this, you're going, okay, so this is the Messiah, and the Messiah is telling me that anybody who does the will of the Father or does his will is his family. So forget the law, the 613 laws that I've been living by my whole life. Do his will. Okay. And this is, you know, in the context of the law, they keep missing it because of the law. And the Pharisee, and so we get to chapter 13. Starting in verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. Since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root and withered away, other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So the picture here in the Sea of Galilee surrounded by farmland. And he's most likely sitting in the boat looking at his people and seeing farmers. And so he's using this analogy to help the people to give a lesson. And so here is a sower going along, scattering seed. And some fall on a rocky soil, some on a path, some among weeds, and some on good soil. And these four different soils are different conditions of people's hearts that we're told of. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has more, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, this word understand that's used here is, it's meant a complete understanding. It's the, you can look, think of it as like the aha moment. Like they've put it all together and they get it. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. They'll hear, but they'll never put it together. And you will indeed see, but never perceive, for the people's heart has grown dull. This section of scripture is actually, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 6, and this word dull in Hebrew is heavy, is fat, basically lazy. And if you think about the years The Pharisees have been studying the law and been trained under the law. The law, like, they've grown lazy in this structure that's the law. They've counted on it. They've looked to it. They've lived their lives by it. 613 laws they live by. So you can see, like, the weight that that would have on you. Like, they would, one of the laws, you can't even drag a chair in your house on the Sabbath because they had soil floors back then, and dragging this chair would create ruts, would be plowing, which is work, which is against the Sabbath. So this is what they're living under. You can see the weight that this can have on, would have on somebody, and but they're missing it. The law wasn't meant to weigh them down. It was meant to guide them to God. And because of that, in which their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you have and did not see, and to hear what you hear and do not hear it. So here are the... Here's the Pharisees, and here's Jesus talking to them. And again, the first soil is the Pharisees. Jesus came to the Jews first, and the Pharisees were trained in the law. They were trained in the Old Testament. If anybody was supposed to recognize Jesus, it was the Pharisees. And so Jesus comes to them first. So, you know, the first soil is the Jewish people. It is the Pharisees. And the seed comes to them, and I like to think it just bounces and then rests. It just hits them and comes to rest to the point where it's so exposed that Satan can come in, and Luke says, quickly steal it away. So why is it so hard? Like, this law that God gave them, which was good, which is good, how does it make them so hard that this happens, that they miss Jesus? More importantly, what can cause us to be hard? So, in short, like, the Pharisees were just so fixated on this road, this law that was supposed to guide them to God, just like a path is supposed to guide you somewhere. They're so fixated on, you know, this is my salvation. This will deliver me to God, where I need to go. They're just so focused on it, they just miss their destination altogether. They're just eyes down, walking on a path, passed right by God. They just held on to this thing that was supposed to lead them to salvation, and they missed salvation himself. But again, why? If this law was supposed to lead them to God, and, you know, this became their master, you think if you master something, you wouldn't miss the point. But no, it mastered them. It caused them, because, again, they were the ones that were supposed to be able to tell who was the Messiah. They created this picture of what the Messiah would look like. They created... You know, they had this picture, this mold that Jesus was, you know, if he was going to be this Messiah, this is what he would look like. So the Messiah, if he came at that time, was supposed to deliver them from the Romans. He was supposed to come in, he was supposed to conquer and lead Israel to victory. And here's Jesus, meek, humble. And Isaiah even says he wasn't attractive. And they're looking at him and saying, nope, not it. And that's why I like to think it just bounces off him, like, like how it's Jesus. And it's maybe hard for us to understand on this side, but like try to put yourself in their shoes. Like, how can they miss this? Because if they can miss it, these are intelligent people, Jews among Jews. Like, these studies of the law, they memorized all the Old Testament. These people missed it. They didn't do it like intentionally. They just seriously thought this wasn't Jesus. They missed it. And if they can miss it, how can we miss it? How can we not get the Jesus, the real Jesus, that is here for us? So, again, the counterpart to 13 goes back to 11:25, and that's where I'd like to go back to right now. And at that time, Jesus declared, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your glorious will, gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So again, this is supposed to be looked at when reading Matthew 13. And it's clear that the only way to know God is through Jesus. And they were trying to know God through the law. So here's the God of the universe, maker of everything. The only way to know him is through his Son. And here is the mic drop. Come to me. The God of the universe is not saying, this is how you do it, go. He's saying, come. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That just blows my mind. The God of the universe, the Son of God, is standing here going, come to me. And I think that's just the Pharisees were just unwilling to do that. Jesus came to them and revealed himself over and over and over. And they're just like, nope, you're not it. We're looking for this type of person. We're looking for this type of Savior. And you're not it. But he's so much more. The Messiah they're looking for would lead them to victory, which would last a generation or two, maybe. He's leading a kingdom that lasts for eternity. They're looking for a Savior that would come to them there and make their situation a little better. He's offering, I'm going to make your life better. I'm going to make your life better. Please don't hear prosperity gospel here. I'm just saying that this He is coming to where you are, and he is meeting where you're at. He understands. If you Hebrews 4, he understands. He's been through everything that you've ever experienced. He knows. He's the greatest priest ever. He understands. And more than that, he delivers you from that. No longer are you the kid who got beat up by your brothers. You're the Son of God. You're in his royal family. It's so much more than this mold that they had. No longer are you a Pharisee. You are the Son of God. It's offered to them, and they miss it. And so, if you're here and you're not a believer, this is what's being offered to you. The God of the universe is here, coming to you, and saying, just come to me. Arms open wide, just come. And if you are a believer, he's offering you way more than that. He's offering you healing. And this is why I love our call to worship. If you're weary and needy, he'll give you rest. Here it is, 11:25 or 11:28. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And there's so much more. If you mourn and long, he'll give you comfort. If you feel worthless and wonder if God cares, he cares. If you fail and weak, he will give you strength. If you sin, he is your Savior. And like, so that's meeting us where we're at. And he will help you there. And he understands you there. And then there's more. He doesn't just leave you there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. This idea of yoke, like if you yoke an oxen, you never yoke a weak oxen with a strong oxen, because then the strong one will do the work and the young one will just learn to be lazy. So we don't even deserve to be yoked with Jesus. Like it's a grace that he's offering this to us, to train us. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He's offering this wonderful grace, meet you where you're at, grow you, train you, make you way better. Again, I'm mumbling. This is just so fantastic that you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not offering the 613 law religion. He is offering to take that on himself and just learn from him. So, I just ask that you would examine yourself. If you're a believer, it's possible for your heart to grow dull. And I just ask that you examine yourself, and has the Bible become dull to you? Is it not alive when you read it? Like, when I came to 11:25 is like finding Skittles. Like you're sitting there like, what? And you can't just eat one, so you keep looking for more. Like it should be a trend. This is the Word of God. And it should just be just such a wonderful treasure to you that you seek it and go to it to help train you and help it in your relationship with Jesus. And I'm not here to plug anything, but seriously, are you avoiding a home group? Like, God calls us to a community, and being in a community, we strengthen each other. We have blind spots, and we need that to help. You know, I grow when Raphael teaches me, and I grow when I ask Raphael for prayer. And, you know, I like to think I teach him some things sometimes, but there's growth there when you're in a community. And, I mean, is there just as simple as, I just keep turning down meeting somebody for coffee? You know, I'll admit, it can be tough sometimes to just sit down one-on-one, look each other in the eye and say, what's going on? So just be cautious of those things and accept that cup of coffee. Seek community. Go to the Bible. Treasure it. It may be a little uncomfortable, but you know, in these uncomfortable situations, that's where you grow the most. I'm sure that you know, the Pharisees were comfortable in their law. Like, here's their structure, they could list them off. They didn't want to leave that. And because of that, look at what they missed. And so, like, just going back to the path and the soil analogy, look at the biggest difference between soil 1 and soil 4. One's soft and vulnerable, and the other one's hard. Being vulnerable is scary. It is. It can go into the soil. It can be blown. It can be washed away. It can be stomped on. That's scary. But you know what? Jesus is way more than the path. He is so much more that he can turn you into this abundance. He can complete. I'm rambling again. It's just so awesome. I just ask that you just please examine yourself and look for these areas that where you may have grown dull, and that just Jesus isn't a treasure to you, because he is way better, so much more than we can ever imagine. So if you could just pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us, that you have come to us in our situation and just offered that we come to you. Arms open wide, with such love and devotion that you are, you don't desire to leave us where we're at. Thank you for making us your children, including us in your royal family. Just so gracious and so merciful. Just love you for that. Love you for being way more than we could ever dream, than we could imagine, that we could figure out on our own. That you come to us with a better gospel than we could figure out. I just praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.